Hello, this is Charles Shepherd of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about Edward Mitchell Bannister, the most highly acclaimed landscape painter of Rhode Island in the late 1800s, and the first African-American artist to win national recognition at the Philadelphia World Centennial of 1876. Born and raised in the small seaport town of St. Andrews, New Brunswick, in Canada, Bannister was the son of a man from Barbados and a woman from Quebec. He was precocious, and his mother encouraged his interest in music, literature, and art. During these formative years, he spent every opportunity doodling with crayons and charcoal, and he made his earliest pictures in watercolor at the age of 10. Shortly before Bannister's 16th birthday, both his parents fell grievously ill and passed away, leaving he and his brother to make their own way in the world. His brother went off to live with relatives, and young Edward went to sea, as did many young men from St. Andrews. This crew position paid well, and more importantly, it brought him into contact with the major port cities of the eastern United States. Bannister kept a sketchbook in which he worked daily to refine his skills, and he sought out galleries and museums in every port of call. During a chance layover in Boston in 1850, he saw several French Impressionist paintings in a gallery window and was inspired to abandon the sea and stay in Boston to pursue his dream of becoming a fine artist. He found a small apartment, which could double as a studio, and to pay the rent, he set himself up as a barber serving the black community. He had a little savings from his years at sea to pay for art supplies, but opportunities for an art education were non-existent. The recently passed Fugitive Slave Act created perilous conditions for a person of color. Not only would no one agree to teach him, but Bannister found that he could not even visit an art museum. Through his barbering, though, he met friends who urged him to become involved with the abolitionist movement. Though the evening meetings cut into his sketching time, they provided him with an avenue into Boston's social network. At one such meeting, he was introduced to the beautiful owner of the very chic Madame Carteau's hair salon. It was love at first sight, and in 1857, Christiana Carteau and Edward Bannister, two charismatic creative artists, were married. Christiana valued that Edward's self-cultivated artistic talent was equaled by his keen work ethic. Edward credited Christiana as his muse and his greatest supporter. He won a first prize medal at the Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in 1876 with his landscape painting, Under the Oaks. Wanting the painting to stand on its own merit, without regard to his race or what he referred to as sentimental sympathy, Bannister had submitted it to the judges with only his signature attached. He created quite a sensation when he appeared unannounced before the awards committee to claim authorship of the painting, becoming thereafter one of the best-known painters in New England and the first African-American artist to win widespread acclaim. The Bannisters moved to Christiana's home state of Rhode Island, where their careers flourished. Christiana's successful salons backed all their endeavors, including founding a retirement home for African-American women. Edward was welcomed into Providence's active artistic community. He established the Providence Art Club in 1878. He later became an instructor at the newly founded Rhode Island School of Design. Bannister drew inspiration from the French artist Millet and the Barbizon School, and he painted in a vigorous Barbizon mode, focusing on nature's changing moods. Even as his paintings won awards and critical attention, he was always conscious of his limited formal training and set rigorous technical goals for himself, ever ready to destroy any of his works in progress when they did not measure up to his high standards. The last part of Edward's life was marked by ill health and declining patronage, which did not, however, deter him from continuing to paint in the lush, unencumbered style for which he was best known. He was generally acknowledged as a painter of poetic sensibility, a painter who could capture an acute sense of time, place, and mood. Edward Bannister is best known today for these poetic landscapes, which are treasured by museums and collectors around the world. Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepherd, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.